Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies. Here's your host, Peter Herbeck.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host. We're wrapping up the week, looking again at really concluding the passage we were meditating on yesterday from Ephesians chapter 6, where St. Paul exhorts us to take up the armor of God. If you have any chance to tune into the program this week, friends, I'd encourage you to go to our website at renewalministries.net. The programs are archived there. The easiest way to access all the programs so you could listen to them any time of day is just download the Renewal Ministries app. You can access everything we're doing on that. That's including our videos, Sister Ann Shields programs, Food for the Journey, books and booklets that we've written, lots of free material there to help strengthen you in the battle. And then also you could download the Ave Maria app and access all the wonderful programming that's a part of it as well. So I would encourage you to go to our YouTube page and enjoy the videos that Ralph Martin, Sister Ann Shields, myself, my wife Debbie Herbeck, Peter Brack, and a whole set of our team members have put together that I think are really helpful in these times. And Dr. Mary Healy as well. There's some good videos we've done on the election that's coming up, I think, that will be helpful. It's an important time for us and for our country. Let's keep it in prayer. Let's fight the good fight. And as St. Paul said, to stand and to hold the ground that God has given to us. So I'm going to finish that section that we were given where Paul describes the last line in terms of the armor of God as the helmet of salvation. Okay, we've been given the gift of salvation. God chose us. He saved us. What does that mean? Through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, through his death on the cross, the power that the devil had over the human race to enslave it, to dominate it, to lead it into bondage was broken. The blood of Jesus brought that. Nothing else will do it. And this is important for us to see because one of the things I'm disappointed by, but it's not going to knock me off my track, is that there are more and more voices in the church today that are kind of diminishing the church's fundamental mission of proclaiming the gospel, of focusing on the salvation of souls of human beings to really hear the gospel for the sake of their salvation, the evangelistic mission of the church, and that's getting reduced to, in many ways, you might say, just a dialogue or to try to bring out about good civic social relationships, which the church is interested in doing, but the church has a mission. And the mission, the fundamental mission, is to proclaim Christ. To proclaim Christ means to bring the forgiveness of sins to the world. And the forgiveness of sins is possible because of the saving work of Jesus. Jesus broke the power of sin over us. He saved us from hell for heaven. He saved us from the powers of sin and death. He gave us a new life in the Spirit. He made us a new creation. He made us to be born again, to become a new creation in baptism and to be united to him. This is what the church first and foremost brings to the world, among other things, humanitarian concerns, human development. It's all important. That's all important, but it doesn't all have the same role of importance. And this is something we can't forget. There's one savior of the world. That's Jesus. What he saves us from, I said, is eternal separation from God. And people don't get it automatically just because they're human beings or because they're nice people. It needs to come through the forgiveness of sins, responding in faith to the proclamation of the gospel, being baptized into Christ for the taking away the powers of original sin, to being renewed again, to be in that baptism, to be given the gift of the Holy Spirit, to enter into the life of the church. This is the heart of the matter. And yes, it's possible for someone who, through no fault of their own, who's never been exposed to this, who follows the light of their conscience with a degree of God's help to say yes to the light that's in their conscience, it's possible for them to be saved. But they've been saved by the blood of Jesus. No one enters a saving relationship with God the Father, into communion with the Father and the Son, apart from the application of the death of Jesus to their life, whether they know it or not. There is no other way. The content of Islam is not salvific. The content of Buddhism is not salvific. You know, the New Age movements in the world are not salvific. My own personal philosophies, it doesn't save. Only Jesus saves. He's the Savior of the world. And so putting on that helmet of salvation, that gift of salvation, means that as Catholics, we understand the biblical view of salvation, that I was saved when I was baptized into Christ. I am being saved by the presence and power of the Holy Spirit and the grace of the church and God's work in my life as he's purifying me. And I will be saved when I stand before him, in his grace, in his mercy. I will be saved and brought into the kingdom of God if I die in Christ, right? And I die apart from the temptations the devil wants to lead us into, which is a life of mortal sin that will separate us from God. So put on that truth, that gift of salvation, and wield the sword of the Spirit, is what Paul says, the Word of God. To wield the Word of God, you got to know the Word of God. Here's one of my big concerns. It's really sad, and it's alarming how many Catholics actually don't know much about the Bible. It doesn't know much about the Word of God. There's nothing quite like the Word of God. I mean, Pope Benedict XVI said at one point that the secret to a new springtime for the church comes from the daily reading of the Word of God. He said, because this Word is alive. It's God-breathed by the Spirit of God. And the Spirit of God speaks to our spirit, and there's power in this Word, and the devil has to obey it. And if you don't know it, you won't know how to speak it, and you won't know how to wield the sword. That's what it means. To stand in the truth, to know God's promises, to know God's commands, to know God's will, and to be able to speak it and to take authority over the devil's tactics as he tries to deceive us and seduce us and lie to us. For example, you know, when you fall, if you fall, when you fall, repent immediately. We were talking about Jesus in his mercy wants to forgive us of our sins, to get to confession. What the devil wants to do is put the carrot in front of us, get us to get distracted and seduced. He plays against the flesh. He seduces the flesh in us. That's that part of us that wants to do our own will, that wants to be coddled, that wants to be satisfied, that wants to escape into pleasure, that wants to avoid responsibility, all these kinds of things. It's in us. And if we're not walking in the Spirit, walking in the light, we can become easily seduced. You can see it all around us. And so the devil makes it look harmless, attractive. Don't worry, it'll be temporary. It's no big deal. And then once you say yes to it, he then jumps all over you and sends a legion of spirits after you. I don't know how many, I'm just using that term, but he sends some. And he sends them to what? To then condemn us, to cover us in shame, in darkness, give up, give in. You're no good. You're rejected. You failed. God's ashamed of you. He's far from you. He should be far from you because of who you are and what you've done. And by all means, don't ever tell anybody about what you've done. You know, keep it in the dark. He wants you to stay there because he wants you to feel bad in the wrong sense of that. He wants you to be stuck in shame, not in the zeal for righteousness that God wants you to have, to seek repentance, to trust God. He wants to say, that's not there for you. You're disqualified. You've done it. You've done it too many times. There's no hope for you. That's where he wants you to go. And he wants you to be stuck in discouragement and fear and anxiety, bitterness, self-condemnation, all these kinds of things, and to believe lies about the Lord, that he's not good, that he's not forgiving, that he's not merciful towards you, that he's made up his mind, he's had it with you, whatever it is. Those are lies, and they can become strongholds. Paul touches on this actually in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, puts it this way. He gives the image of a spiritual stronghold, which we talked about earlier, like a fortress we talked about earlier in the week. Paul turns that image around and says the devil has a kind of strategy like to lead us into a place where we're believing lies. Lies about God. God's not good. God's not kind. God's ways are not good. God is not looking out for me. He's dealt me a bad hand. There's no hope for me. You name it, just one lie after another. And then the lies that we take in about God and about ourselves, he wants to cement and protect them and not be exposed to the light. So Paul gives this image of a fortress. And we're within the fortress. The devil built a wall around us because we camped out in the lies that he's fed us And we don't know enough about the Word of God to wield real power. And so we're stuck in dark emotions. And if you feel shameful, you'll often act that way. If you feel dirty, you'll act dirty. That's what the devil wants to get us to do, to take it on as an identity and start living out of the sin and the habit patterns of sin, because he wants to lead us to slavery. And the way out of that is by God's grace, is by the power of the Word of God, this sword of the Spirit you wield, you cut away, you knock down the walls that the devil put up around those lies by wielding the Word of God. It's almost like, imagine yourself trapped within these walls, and they're in darkness, and you're believing the lies. Think about like the Lord of the Rings when Wormtongue was speaking into that to the king. I forgot which one it was, and he just led him into deeper darkness, deeper deception, deeper discouragement, give up, give in, quit. And it just like becomes a part of his identity. And outside the wall, the Lord stands ready to come in and to slay the Wormtongue, to slay the devil, and to bring him down. But you've got to take up the sword. You have to be able to speak the truth and to disarm the enemy. So here's Paul, 2 Corinthians chapter 10. For though we live in the world, we're not carrying on a worldly war. For the weapons of our warfare are not worldly, but have divine power to destroy strongholds. The weapons is the very one that he's talking about here in Ephesians, which is the sword of the Spirit, which is God's truth, God's word. How do the strongholds that the enemy builds up around us, how are they brought down? Not just by my willpower, can't do it. You have to exercise your freedom that God has given you in grace and ask for God's help and get these words of God, these promises of God, the truth of God. For example, you tell the devil, when you're under condemnation, you stand up and say, there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. They will say, well, you're not in Christ Jesus. You've sinned too much. And he's not going to forgive you anymore. No, 70 times, seven times a day, that's an equation of fullness. Every time your heart turns to God, even in that weakness, and cries out to him, you will be forgiven for your sins. You've got to go to confession. So the devil doesn't want you to do that. He wants you to stay stuck in the fortress of walls that he's built around you. He said, verse 5, Paul says, we destroy arguments and every proud obstacle to the knowledge of God and take every thought captive to obey Christ. We destroy these arguments of the devil that he's putting up against us. And he's lying to us about God. He's lying to us about who we are, what our position is before God, how precious we are in the eyes of God. You have to stand up. So Paul ends this section of Ephesians, back to it. I'll just end in the last minute that we have here reading what I forgot to read yesterday or didn't have time to read. He said, with all prayer and supplication, pray at every opportunity in the Spirit. To that end, be watchful with all perseverance and supplication for all the holy ones and also for me. Paul says he wants us to pray for him, right? That why my speech may be given to me to open my mouth, to make known with boldness the mystery of the good news of God, the gospel, for which I'm an ambassador in chains. May we pray for each other, friends, that in this hour of confusion in the church and our culture, we would be filled with boldness and we'd wield the word of God, not the lies and the deceptions of the world. God bless you. Have a wonderful weekend. Don't forget to go to our website at renewalministries.net.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at avemariaradio.net and renewalministries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, Unfailing Promises. In these challenging and unsettling times, the promises of God are a sure anchor and a source of great encouragement for all of us. For your free copy of Unfailing Promises, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to renewalministries.net/FOE or subscribe to our podcast.